Mike's been talking a little bit about global warming and all that stuff. You know, there are hundreds and thousands of scientists that will tell you there is no such thing as global warming. And they talk about the ice glaciers melting in this part of the world, but they never talk about the ice glaciers growing in the other part of the world. But it's really remarkable. But Colossians 1:17 says this, He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. That is, He holds all things together, and it talks about all things were created by Him in the verse before that. So, I don't know. It's really something how the... You know what that was all about? It was all about money. Trying to get money, trying to get support so we can do all this. And Al Gore got on that bandwagon. He flies a private jet all over the world. You'd think in the world if somebody was worried about pollution and saving energy and all that, he wouldn't have his own private jet flying all over the world. But whatever. It was all about money, isn't it sad? I want you to turn to John 19. I'd like you to stand with me in honor of the Lord, obviously, and in honor of His Word, but in honor of our mothers as well. And I want to read just two verses of Scripture. This will be probably the least amount of Scripture that I've ever used in any sermon in my life, because it's Mother's Day. After you pastor a long time, you've spoken on several Mother's Day. You know how hard it is sometimes to come up with anything new for Mother's Day, July 4th, Memorial Day's coming up next. It's like, what am I going to say next? You know, sometimes I have to recycle maybe, I don't know. Which if it was true before, it's still true today, so it might as well recycle. Anyway, John chapter 19, verse 26 and 27. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciples standing by him whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. Father, as we come to you this morning, and as we talk about loving our mother, I would also pray for my mother's gone. She's been gone for years. That we would learn to love people with the same principles that we're going to talk about. What's a good way for us to love our moms? We're supposed to love our neighbor as ourself. We're supposed to be marked with the virtue of love, the trait of love, the character of love. And ought to be one thing that separates Christianity apart from everybody else is that we have love one for another. John also wrote that. And so as we come to you, I pray that you would teach us how to love through some of the principles, and especially our mothers if we still have our mothers with us. And we'll thank you and praise you because we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So today is Mother's Day. We'll tell Mom Happy Mother's Day. Perhaps get her a card, a little gift. You notice the greenhouses, they always want to be ready for Mother's Day. Plants, flowers, all kinds of stuff that they sell, and Mother's Day is a big day for that. But have you ever thought about this? How do I really love my mom? Now, some of you, myself included, I lost my mom several years ago. I'm getting older. She was getting older, and so she passed away. But that's part of life. So for a lot of people here, your mom is still alive. And how do you love her? So I'm going to give you 10 ways to do that. Mike, you need to write these down because they apply other places as well. Okay. Mike, when are you getting married? July 20th. Yep, so you know, jot these down, Mike. This is like counseling in the congregation. Anyhow, as Jesus hung on the cross, and that's the scene here, Mary, the mother of Jesus, stood by the cross of Calvary, and she witnessed history's greatest tragedy that was inflicted upon her own son. And so the Bible said there, let me read it again, in John 19, verse 26, When Jesus therefore saw his mother, the disciple standing by whom he loved, that would have been John, he saith unto his mother, so Mary's standing there at the cross, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple, that is John, took her into his own home. Now John lived, we know, to be an old man. So evidently he lived long enough to take care of Mary all the days of her life. Joseph, her husband, probably died when they were young. Because after a while, it's like Joseph is off the scene. We don't hear much about Joseph at all. once the Lord entered into his public ministry at about 30 years old, Mary's always there, but you don't read much about Joseph. So Joseph could have very likely died as a young man. Now, even as Jesus is there hanging on the cross, Jesus demonstrated his love toward his mother because he made provisions for her care in his absence. Obviously, when he was on the cross, he knew that he was going to die, and he knew that he would go to heaven, ascend to heaven. And so while he's doing that, he's making provision for her care. The older a mom gets, the more she needs to know that her children still love her. So how do we still love her? And you need to do these things to your mom, and you need to do these things if you're married to your husband or to your wife or to your children, and your children need to do it to your parents as well. So number one, you need to love her verbally. It's as good as day as any to tell your mom that you love her. Tell her you love her and tell her specifically why. And people like to hear, this is why I love you and here's why I love you. Express some of the qualities for which you love her. It's like the fact that maybe, I don't know, Mom, I really enjoy the meals you make. And this is a little plug too. And by the way, my favorite meal is, you know, whatever it is. Maybe you'll profit from that. You never know, right? But anyway, let her know specifically why you love her. And she's dependable. And most moms do the majority. I probably wouldn't even say most. I would say unless in a bizarre situation, they do almost all the housework. That would include keeping the house clean, doing the laundry, making the meals, making sure the young people are, you know, if they're sick, they get to doctors and dentists and appointments. The mom's doing an awful lot of that stuff. Now, there's some exceptions to that, I know, but moms do a lot. So tell her you love her and express specifically why you love her. When you think of all the labor of love a mother does for her family, I don't think you'd have to think that far and that hard to tell her why. Don't be like the guy, you know, who got married. He goes, I told my wife once I loved her. And if I changed my mind, I told her I'd let her know. Okay, don't be like that guy. Do it more than once. Secondly, love her physically. Your mother was the first person to touch you before you were born. She wrapped you in her womb. And we say love her physically. We mean give her a hug once in a while. Give her a peck on the cheek, you know, especially as they get older. After you came out, she could not wait to hold you. And once you were in the world, she kissed your cheeks and she laid you down at night and probably several other times before that. And then she changed your diapers and she tied your shoes and she combed your hair and she dressed you and she buttoned your shirts and all those things. She'd hold you when you needed the security of her touch, when the primary duties of a mother have expired and sooner or later they do, she will need to know that she is still appreciated and now she's going to need your touch. Love her physically. Love her verbally, love her physically, love her patiently. Moms have big jobs and they have a lot of duties. They have a lot of responsibilities. There may not be any corporate responsibility that rivals motherhood when it comes to physical, emotional, and spiritual commitment. I mean, this one might be at the very top of the list. It's easy then for her to become impatient before mom gets what we want her to get to for whatever reason. So it's easy to become impatient with our mother when they don't do things the way you wished that they would do things. Maybe she doesn't always prepare your favorite meal, because maybe your favorite meal isn't somebody else's favorite meal. Or always keeps a promise. You know, you don't keep every promise you make. Life happens sometimes. So maybe something happens and she made a promise and she was going to do this, but something happened and she couldn't do that. Or maybe once in a while she's late. Or who knows what. Now here's the news flash. Your mother's not perfect. You're not perfect. All right? In those times, we must exercise patience. Learn something, and learn this well. A mom isn't a bottomless well from which we draw each time we have a need. We can't keep doing that. And it's not right to expect them to align their lives to accommodate our lives all the time. Fourthly, love her by listening to her. That's an important one, Mike. You might put a star by that one. Can you remember a time when your mother stopped what she was doing to listen to you pour out your burdens. Most kids can. Maybe you failed at something. Maybe you didn't make the team. Maybe you weren't invited to a party when you were younger, got all bummed out about it. What's a good mom do? Well, she puts her arm around you and she encourages you. Now, I've said this before, I'll say it in passing again today. We're not talking about praise. I said, when you fail at something, she puts her arm around you and encourages you. Praise is performance-based. It's easier to praise somebody than it is to encourage somebody, because now you've got to encourage a kid who just failed at something. Some of the kids, of course, sometimes the parents are the worst. When my boys played hockey, they'd try out for hockey, and then at the end of all the tryouts, they'd have a list. You made this team. This was the A team. You made this team. This is the B team. And then you made the house team, what they call the house team. Well, everybody wants to be on the A team. So your kids have played there a while. Then you hope they don't make the A team. But anyway, it's travel. It's nuts. But anyway, because ours made it. But when the kid doesn't make the A team, it's usually not the kids that get bent all out of shape. It's usually the parents that get bent all out of shape. They didn't make the team because most of the time they weren't cut out to make the team. They couldn't skate fast, or they weren't that good on their skate, or they weren't strong on their skates, or they couldn't handle a puck. Who knows why? But they didn't make it. The kid could be disappointed in that. By the way, that's a good thing for children to learn when you don't always make the team. You know, it's ridiculous nowadays when, oh, everybody's got to make the team. Well, not everybody's skills are the same. They just aren't. You learn some good principles there. But anyway, she comes along and you didn't make the team, or you didn't pass the test, or who knows what. And she puts her arm around you and she knows how to encourage you. She listened. And she could do it with saying very little, without offering any advice. You didn't have to say, well, you know, you could have done this better, and you could have done that better, and you could have done this better, and this. Listen, she'll just listen. She'll encourage by the way she listens. Sometimes moms need to be listened to as well, especially when they get older. One of the best ways you can express love towards your mother is to listen to her. A lot of moms suppress fears and anxieties and frustrations and inner torments because they don't want to worry their children. We have a few older ladies in our church that aren't the healthiest. And one of them was here Sunday. She says, Pastor, you really need to come by my house this week. I really need to see you about something. Now, I didn't know what it was. Truth is, she needed somebody to talk to. She needed somebody to listen to. And I'm going to say something, as some of you know who some of these are. Some reason or another, and I don't get it, sometimes when parents get older, their kids forget all about them. You young people, don't let that be you. And when I say young, you're young, okay? Don't forget about me. Don't allow yourself to forget about your parents. I know you got your own home. We have our own home. We do our own thing. By the way, my dad picked up parts for his truck the other day, brakes and rotor stick, and put them in the back of his vehicle. He says, my key, he told me where the key is. See if you can get those in there this week, will you? Okay, Dad, I'll get right on it. But sometimes, he can't get down there and do it, I'll tell you that right now. If he got down there, we'd have to get a couple of you guys to help get him back up. So, you know, he's not getting down there. So, you say, you're going to do that for him? Yeah, you do that for him. Sometimes, I can do it. I've got the tools. I know what I'm doing. It's not a big job. But you can do things like that for your parents, because there comes a time when they need you. There are parents who have heartaches. They have burdens. They don't have anybody to share them with. That's the case earlier. In their later years, they face troubles that are more intense, perhaps, than anything they've ever faced before, and they've helped you overcome yours in your own life, and so now it's your turn to help her in her life. Fifthly, love her gratefully. You think of all your mom has done for you over the years. Think about how many meals she made you, how many diapers she changed. Think about how many boxes of cereal she went to the store and bought for you. And you know, when you were a kid, remember those Frosted Flakes with all the sugar on them? Man, I like those Frosted Flakes. But I don't eat Frosted Flakes anymore. You know why? They got too much sugar on them. And that sugar is poison. It's no good. So I don't even put sugar in my coffee, by the way. I'm black. So anyway, you said, well, you know, I'm getting healthier now, Mom. I think I'm going to eat Cheerios or whatever. All right, so she switches with you. And then maybe you, but that's all good. She just goes to the store, fills up the shopping cart, comes home. Maybe she gets up in the morning and says, I'm going to make eggs this morning. How would you like your eggs? Remember when Melissa first came to live with us, Faith? She made every egg the same way, just a little bit softer than a hockey puck, every single one of them. It was bad. That's all she knew. We're like, we don't want our eggs like this, okay? I like mine crispy on the bottom and dippy on the top. You know, dippy, you dip your toast in it, and dippy on the top. I don't want no hockey puck. That's the only way she made. But usually a mom will say, how would you like your eggs? Now, as a rule, they never bring any of that stuff to your attention. They just do it. They just go to the store, fill up the cart, bring it home, and do what they got to do. Now, when you consider all they've done, you know what we owe them? We owe them a debt of gratitude. A debt of gratitude. I can go back when I was a kid. My mom get up before school. She made breakfast for us. Even when we were in high school, she still made her breakfast. I know a lot of teenagers don't eat breakfast. I ate breakfast every day. I still like to eat breakfast every day. Then we usually took a brown bag to lunch. You know, she had our lunch ready for us. We'd leave. She'd make everybody's beds. We didn't make our beds when we got up in the morning. She made them all. And I probably shouldn't say that because the kids will want to take advantage of that, including ours. But anyway, so we come home. Meals would always be on the table. Never complained. Never said anything negative. Just was doing everything that she did all the time. All the time. And we had 10 kids in our house. So that lasted a lot of years. You know what we need to be? We need to be grateful. You love her gratefully. Sixthly, you love her tenderly. She needs acceptance and understanding rather than a lot of advice. Her actions may seem strange, but when you love somebody, you accept them just the way they are. Don't judge her. Love her tenderly. The best mark of what a kind of kids we are is how we respond to our moms when they're going through hard times in their life. Seventhly, love her generously. Now, the answer I'm looking for is obviously no, but is there anything too good that you can do for your mom? After all she's done for her children, all the sacrifices, usually, you ever think about how much a mom spends on themselves? Very, very little. They do it all the time when they're out of money. They give it, they spend it all on somebody else, gave all their energy, take kids to sporting events. That's getting a little bit out of control in our day and age, but that's what they do. How can we be too stingy toward our mothers when they have been so unselfish and loving and generous to us? My brothers and I, sisters, I have six sisters, have often talked how our mom always went without. She never had anything, never spoiled herself, never had new clothes. She would go to a yard sale or she'd go to Salvation Army. She'd take freebies. She wasn't too good to wear freebies from somebody. Even though we were a large family and my dad worked 2 and 3 jobs, we were not rich. The jobs he took weren't high-paying jobs. So we went without a lot. And I will tell you, my mom sacrificed more than anybody all the time. So as we get older, we have a chance to love her generously. Eight, love her forgivingly. If your relationship with your mom is less than desirable, maybe you're resentful or bitter toward her for something or who knows what, whatever's happened between you two, you have a responsibility before the Lord to forgive her. Pastor, you don't know my mother. You're probably right, I don't. But when you don't forgive, you can't love. And if you can't forgive your mom, you can't love your mom. You say, why should I forgive her? Because God told us to. That's why. Well, she did something bad. It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. You forgive. God tells us to love. If he can forgive us despite our failures, we ought to be able to forgive our moms despite their failures. Ninthly, love her cheerfully. What would your mom think when she thinks about you? Would it put a smile on her face? Or would it put a frown on her face? Is she encouraged or is she burdened? The next time you see her, encourage her. Laugh with her. Do your best to make her happy. Love her cheerfully. And tenthly, love her honorably. Exodus says this. We sang that song, Standing on the Promises of God, the first song we sang. Do you realize the commandment of the Ten Commandments, there's one commandment that has a built-in promise attached to it? What is it? Honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. It's the only one of the Ten Commandments with a built-in promise for blessing. And it doesn't matter what the vocation of your life is, how many people you know, who you don't know, or how much money you make. That's all temporal value stuff. Nobody cares. When you live the kind of life that honors your mother, you know what she's going to be? She's going to be proud of you. Now, how do you love your mother? You love her with all of your heart. You demonstrate your love to her in a way that makes her grateful for every moment of time she's invested in you and every penny that she has sacrificed for you and every expense she provided that helped you become the person you are. You owe a great deal to your mom. Now, I have thought of some of the sermons that I preached during the wintertime recently here. I've already talked a lot about what makes a woman a beautiful woman, a meek and a quiet spirit, a godly woman, the area of submission, the incredible influence that a mother has over her children, particularly in the first 5 years of their life. We've already said recently a lot about that. We did a series on what's going on in the church, and so we spent quite a bit of lessons on the mom and the guys as well. But as you read the Bible, and if I can go back to our text and think about that just for a few moments, as you read the Bible, you find little statements having to do with the mother of Jesus, most of which deal with her as a parent, as the Lord's mom. Little things like, and the mother of Jesus was there. And then you read, the mother of Jesus stood without. It seems our Lord wanted to know that his mother was around. And in Matthew 12 it says, then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. Jesus is always center stage in the Bible. Jesus is the central figure of our Bible. He's the hero. When you say, Pastor, who's your New Testament hero? Well, I say Barnabas. Because when somebody asks me that question, Jesus doesn't count. Okay, Jesus is everybody's hero. So who's your New Testament hero, not counting Jesus? Maybe I'll ask it that way from now on. So mine is Barnabas. You say, who's your Old Testament hero? It's Caleb. I think Caleb wanted that mountain, man, and he was determined to get that mountain. I like Caleb. Obviously, Jesus is everybody's ultimate hero. So when you're asked that question, everybody usually means, not counting Jesus, who's your hero? He is the center focus of the Bible. He's the hero of the Bible. Jesus is always our hero. Not all the spotlight is focused on him. And the microphone, you could say, is always held to his mouth. Standing in the shadows is his mother. She seemed to always be there. If you remember, he had just performed a miracle. He'd cast out a demon, or he preached a sermon about the unpardonable sin. Those happened in succession, and then the Bible says of his mom, the mother of Jesus, stood without. In John chapter 2, Jesus just performed his first miracle. He had never before this opened a blind eye. He never caused a lame person to walk. He never gave a deaf people the ability to hear and to speak. He never raised the dead, the blind to see. He never did any of those yet. And yet, as the spotlight of eternity is about to be focused squarely on Christ, the first line of the first verse of the first miracle that Jesus is about to perform is this. And the mother of Jesus was there. Remember the wedding of Cana? Now that's something. Every time it seems like the mother of Jesus was there, Mary stood without. Mary was always there. The light is on Jesus, but his mother is there. In John 19, in verse 25, just across the page, It says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. She's there. Mary's there. Here's her son, God in the flesh. He's dying for our sins. He who knew no sin became sin for us. The nails are in his hands and his feet. The crown of thorns is on his brow. And the Bible says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. She was there. You move a little bit further. Jesus has been crucified. He's buried. He's risen again. And he went back to heaven for a little bit. He's at the right hand of the Father. The 120 people are in the upper room praying in the upper room. That little bit, Lord willing, will end pretty soon, by the way. Pentecost is about to come. 3,000 people are about to get saved. The power of God is about to fall on the church. The message of Jesus, the gospel, is about to be preached. But in the upper room, at that prayer meeting, the Bible tells us that Mary, the mother of Jesus, in Acts 1:4, was there. You know what it seems like? She was always there. Now, he didn't give her much attention. You don't find Mary getting much attention in the Bible. But she was there. By the way, there is no power in Mary. There's no saving grace in Mary. There's no mediation between Mary. We don't pray to Mary. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Nor did she remain a virgin. There was no perpetual virginity within her, obviously. She had four sons and at least two daughters that the scriptures mention, sons, and they give the names, and the daughters. So she didn't remain a virgin. She's in the shadows. There's never much said, but she's always there. That's the way it is with all great moms. You know that? They're kind of in the shadows, but you know what they are? They're always there. A godly woman is happy when she sits by and she watches her family grow up, be successful, and in the Christian sense, live for the Lord. And she watches her husband do something that, and she supports him in that 100%. I've had moms tell me in this church, it's a scary thought in some ways, Pastor, our kids just love you. Some of the little boys in here, they want to dress like the pastor. I'm thinking, okay, I better watch what I wear. But anyway, because you mean so much to them. Some of them will come in, I got a tie on today, Pastor. Yes, you do. You know, they're cute as a button. What are you going to do? By the way, what's that phrase mean, cute as a button? My buttons don't look that cute to me. There's not much there, but I don't know. I know what it means, but I don't know how they come up with it. Now, here's the thing. Through all the years I've been pastor here, and Lord willing several more, I'll pastor a lot of boys. Some of them are going to grow up and they're going to live for the Lord. Unfortunately, some of them won't make it. But when God gives a boy or a girl a mother who will stand in the shadows like Mary always did and pray and hope and teach and do the house and keep the house up and do without. Now let me pause. That is the opposite of the philosophy of the world today. There's way too much put yourself first. Look after you. Pamper yourself. But when they do those things, they weep, they pray for the children, you know what? That mom's got way more influence than I'll ever have. And God's going to make something out of them. Now, a lot of women aren't doing those things today. They don't want to be in the shadows. They want a career. They don't want to pray and hope and teach and do housework and do without. They want to be in the front. It's too bad. And so it's Mother's Day. And I don't mind really giving one service a year to honor our moms. Because I want you to think of this. Our Lord is on the cross. God has become flesh. He took upon the form of a man. He's nailed to the cross. With him is our sins, the law, the rituals. Jesus, God's Son, is dying on the cross. And while he's on the cross, the angels are looking down. God the Father is about to turn his back on his Son because he will not look upon sin. Eternity hushes. The angels look down from heaven. And people are standing around the cross and they're listening and they're probably thinking, I wonder what he's going to say. Will he teach one last great theological truth? Will he call 10,000 angels so this can be over? And you know what he said? Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. Now there's something special in that. There's something precious in that. When the Son of God, God incarnate, on the cross is dying, to open his mouth and say, John, I'm leaving now. I want you to take care of my mother. That's what he says. Now that's precious. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? I'm getting at this. Young people, love your mothers. Honor your mothers. It's the first commandment with promise. Honor them. Respect them. Obey them. Listen to them. You may not know this. They know a lot more about life than you. Do you ever notice when a kid is little, their parents know a lot, and then all of a sudden their parents just get dumber and dumber and dumber to about 14 or 15. Their parents don't know nothing. And then all of a sudden, as they get older, they start to realize they know a little bit more and a little bit more. And by the way, parents, we're not our kids' best friends. You know when you develop friendship with your children? When they become young adults, older teens and adults. That's when the friendship really becomes more of a friendship. Learn to love your mother. If your mom is still alive, mine isn't, but express love for her today. Secondly, if you're a mom, be godly. Don't be worldly. Don't take the philosophy of the world and say, well, I got to have me and it's all about me. And da-da. Don't do that. When the rich man came and brought gifts to Jesus of gold and frankincense and myrrh, Mary stood in the shadows. When Simeon picked up Jesus' little body and said, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, Jesus had the spotlight, but Mary stood in the shadows. When Anna saw him, she praised and worshipped, but Mary stayed in the shadows. When Jesus was with the teachers and doctors in the temple, the light shone on Jesus. Mary was in the shadows. When he performed his first miracle, all eyes were on him. When he was on the cross, Mary was there in the shadows, but when he is dying, he says, behold thy mothers. And so, today, like every year, honor your mother today. You say, well, my mom lives in a different state. Give her a phone call. I'll bet you in 2018 she owns a phone. I bet she owns a cell phone. I'll bet you no matter where she is, she'll look at your phone if you call her and she'll get it. Except that phone that we found last week is still here someplace. But nobody's claimed it yet. So if you lost the phone, let us know. You say, I'd like us to honor moms. Why, preacher? Because the tremendous influence that a godly mom can have on her children. And so this morning, I'd like to do what Jesus did on the cross. Shine the light on our mothers and say three simple little words. Happy Mother's Day. I'd like for you to do the same thing. I was browsing a magazine the other day. And there was an article on it, and I made a copy of the article. It's written, it's just a little thing. And it was written by somebody who is in Hollywood, like in television. I was stunned to read this from somebody written there. Perhaps this is a lady is a Christian. But she said this, the stay-at-home mom has a terrifying, holy charge of raising up little eternal beings into people who will encounter the world either with kindness and grace or with malice and indifference. I cannot think of a more important job. And yet, and this is from somebody in Hollywood, and yet our culture rolls our eyes at these women. Our culture says they've given up on doing anything with their lives. You know, there's not a greater thing that any mom can do with their life than be a good, godly mom. And if you have one, you ought to praise God for her. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed and no one looking around. So young people and husbands and dads, are you going to honor your mom today? Maybe your mom's gone, but your wife has children. You're going to make sure your children honor your mom today? Their mom, I guess I should say. You're going to do that? Thank God for good godly moms. But let me say something. When I started, I gave 10 principles on how to love. You know, you can take those same principles and you can use them with your husband and you can use them with your your wife, and you can use them with your children. The children can use them with their parents. They can use them with their teachers. They can use them with their friends. You can use them with acquaintances. Most of them. You can't use all of them, obviously. But you can learn to love people. If it's one thing we need to do, is we need to love people. That's the second commandment. There's only two. Love God and love people. Your neighbor is yourself. That's the commandments. Love. Let's love. Let's show love. Let's express love today. Father in heaven, we thank you for our moms. My mom is gone, obviously, but Lord, she was a great example, a hard worker, sacrificial, constantly sacrificing for us, never frustrated. Almost, I don't know that she ever raised her voice in frustration, except one time. Never saw her mad, really. Never saw her angry. Just did her duties, went about her business, did what she was supposed to do. We thank you. I thank you for her. Now, Lord, I pray that some of the lessons that she taught me, I'd be able to use trying to influence others. And I pray that my kids will continue to love you and serve you and be all that they can be. And we pray also, Lord, for every young person in this church, that they'll learn to be appreciative of their mother, and every mom to have a desire, a God-given Holy Spirit desire to love you and to follow you and to do what's right. So as we just take a moment to think about our lives and our moms, Lord, show us here in a few moments how we can express that love to them. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm just going to let you think about that for a moment. Go ahead and play, Faith. Are you showing love? Do you express love in those 10 things I gave you? All right, let's love our mothers today. I wanted to mention this past week here at our church. You know, we've had a great week. We really have. We had a girl read a testimony Friday.